You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people. And hello from Jessica.
And Daryl.
So we're happy to be here in the studio live at wonderful 3CR. 8:55 on your dial, as you already know, because that's you'd be listening to us. You found that on your dial.
Or online at 3cr.org.au.
That's right. And so we are, just in case you've missed us, we are the national organisation of people run by unemployed people for unemployed people. And we're looking forward to the year where we hopefully will take on some of the injustices that are actually people are suffering due to the unfairness of the welfare system.
Yeah, well, we're not off to a very good start. Last week I mentioned that our lines are opened again, but I just want to apologise to anyone that tried to call our advocacy line last week because it's not open as of yet. The union's going through bit of re-evaluating our processes, so we're not sure when the lines will be open again, but you can still send us an email at ruw.org.au. So get on the website and then up on the menu bar, just put your mouse onto advocacy and then choose whichever one you want or need.
Yes, and all last year, as we mentioned on the radio, you're able to get advice from us about any concerns you have about your payments or, covering a whole lot of areas, really, and Daryl's a volunteer on that line. So over the holidays, a friend of mine who's a member of the union got this sort of late evening notification saying that they had to go and see their JSP, their job services provider, on the other side of town. And so they're actually couch surfing right now. So immediately it was, oh, God, how am I going to get to the other side of town? So the next thing is, so I sort of suggested from what I've learnt from Daryl, which is, just try and reorganise that appointment as soon as possible. But unfortunately, they got their payment suspended automatically, and then they had a big run around calling the Centrelink offices. And then when they rang the Brunswick office of Centrelink, there was just a service saying the number you have called is not available. So it's the kind of thing you get when you're in a slight sort of, you're stressed because your payments have been suspended.
Again,
so this union member got transferred to another closer JSP, but then that didn't work out either. And in the end, now they're hoping that the nearest Centrelink will be able to help them. But it's just that kind of thing. You don't need to sort of think about rushing across town to get there for an appointment at 9:15 and then getting all these sort of mixed messages from Centrelink and JSP.
There wasn't enough notice anyway.
No.
So she got the notice one night and the appointment was next day.
Yeah, that's right, at 9:15.
They're supposed to give you at least 2 or 3 days' notice before they have an appointment. So if anyone gets a message saying you got an appointment the next day, disregard it.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't go to it. They must give you at least 2 or 3 days, depending on your circumstances, to get organised with that.
And I think other people in the union have had these overly keen calls in the last couple of weeks since the
suspension. They're always trying to get away with it,
Since the suspension of mutual obligations, which happened over sort of Christmas, New Year, they seem to be pretty keen to get people in to have a little talk and then off again.
I didn't attend an appointment at the start of the pause, and then 5 days later, they ring me and say, well, would you like a phone interview? And I said, no.
Yeah.
I don't have to. There's a pause on.
Yeah. Now, we'll be going into that again. We've had it on the show before about trying to get all your contact with them online so that you don't have to rush around for these face-to-face appointments, which, of course, they're perfectly capable of doing. And, of course, they did it during COVID. They suspended all the face-to-face, so they can do it. They just want to get the extra money that they get for face-to-face, I think.
Yeah.
And that's a little, yeah. And now, something coming up next Monday. So I'll be back in Wonthaggi, where I live, going to the commemoration of the lives of Tunaminawait and Mulbohina, who were freedom fighters for the First Nations people, and they were actually, unfortunately, captured by the authorities quite near me where I live, near Wonthaggi. So we've got, there's going to be a commemoration of their lives in Melbourne and also down in Wonthaggi. So I think you'll be going to that, probably to the Melbourne one, Daryl.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. I think it's great that they haven't been forgotten either.
That's right, yeah.
So hopefully, well, I'm sure it'll be a big turnout.
Yeah.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Yeah, so you're listening to The Breadline, which is the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on beautiful 3CR.
And we have new members joining us all around the country because we are Australia-wide, aren't we, Jessica?
Yes.
Yeah, but we need more members to help us run the union. You know, the more the merrier. Whether you like decision-making from behind the scenes or you're more of a frontline person like myself, that's been hard done by and wants to help others, we have a position for you. And I tell you what, it's a great way to learn all your rights as well. Since I joined the union a few years ago, you wouldn't believe how many times I've been able to say no to a job provider.
Yes.
And it's such a pleasure to say
that. And warm the cockles of your heart, I think.
Yeah. And, well, the best part is seeing the expression on their faces. They don't expect someone to walk in and know what their rights are. It's incredible.
Yeah, for sure. And I've learned things from what you've told me about your work on the advice line as well. So
Yeah, we get all sorts of problems there. It's been great though, working for the union. And
so if anyone's listening and knows someone either who needs advice or else who maybe would like to help out on the advice line, on the advocacy line.
Once it gets up and running again, yeah.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Yeah, now what we've got coming up, which is a bit exciting, is a summit. So it's going to be called the Anti-Poverty Summit, and it's happening in March in Brisbane, Maganjin. I thought it was probably a good time to just talk about some of the groups that are active already around the country. So first of all, two groups that I'm going to make sure get invited along, although probably the chances are slim with this first group I'm talking about, it's just because it's geographically quite hard for them, I can imagine, to get up to Brisbane, Maganjin. They're based in Tasmania and they're called GRANT, the Grassroots Action Network Tasmania. Their byline is taking on late-stage capitalism on our island home of Lutruwita since 2021. So they sort of combine action about sort of the prices of food with a whole lot of other things. For example, they've done a stall out the front of Woolies, giving away for free the food that they collected out the back of Woolies from the bins. So I don't know quite how they managed that, but they did it. I saw the photographs.
Is this in Tasmania?
That's in Tasmania, yeah.
All right.
So this is their latest thing from their Facebook page. Early this morning, we returned to the active logging area, DN023H, in the Huon Valley, answering the call from Uncle Jimmy Everett to protect country this January. On arriving, we were greeted by a pair of yellow-tailed black cockatoos, Uncle Jimmy's spirit animal. The area is well known for horrific logging practices, including destruction of known habitat for threatened species and felling of giant trees. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty interesting to hear what they're getting up to, as, of course, Lutruwita is known for the incredible destruction of the forest that's happening there. So,
yeah.
Then there is another interesting group up in Gurrumbilbara, and so that's also known as Townsville. The actual name Townsville is actually taken from one of the known slave traders, so in the old days. So basically they try and use that name, Gurrumbilbara, which is the proper First Nations name. And so what they do is a lot of material aid, they call it, but it's basically feeding people. And then they go out to the parks where people are sleeping and give out foods. And I can tell you, again, like you were saying about it warming your heart, speaking back to the job centres, it warmed my heart being able to give people a ready-cooked warm meal, you know, when they were sleeping out. This is, again, winter in Queensland, but it's still really nice to have a warm meal.
Oh, yeah, I bet they appreciated that too.
And their byline is, we need people. Our ability to function relies on people. Overt, anti-capitalist, anti-colonialist voices are marginalised deliberately. It's only through our actions and our work that we can place that political position in mainstream consciousness. We are not interested in reform. We're interested in popularising and giving direction to system change. So, yeah, they're a pretty lively group. And they also have these big free stores where they hire a hall and just everything in the place is free. Then some of the groups that already are part of this summit, which is coming up in March, are the Anti-Poverty Network, and we've had Paz from the Anti-Poverty Network in South Australia on the show before.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, and they've on their page on Facebook, they say, when you don't have to worry about paying bills, you have time to think. The system is designed for us to never have that. If you're always in survival mode, you'll never have the time or the energy to resist. So, yeah, I thought that was a good comment because, it is exhausting, as we've been saying, trying to, negotiate. Then another group that's part of this summit is CUDL, which is a great little acronym there. So they've been going since 2019 and they're handing out free food outside the Melbourne State Library every Sunday from 3 till 6. And they started off when they were supporting a union organiser who was needing money to be raised for a fine, a CFMEU organiser. So they're set up and they're obviously got the people to keep going, which is great.
Fantastic.
So those are some of the groups, plus the AUWU and also the Anti-Poverty Centre. So hopefully some people from here will be going up. And they're saying, come, the promotional thing is it's a two-day summit bringing together people, movements and communities to learn skills, share ideas and build relationships, form networks of solidarity and imagine an alternative to the poverty crisis.
Yeah, well, that's what we got to do. We sort of got to get together in numbers. We can be unstoppable. It's what's that saying? United we stand, divided we fall.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of these systems tend to do, is they tend to get you alone, job providers and Centrelink and a lot of these government departments. They want to separate you from any backup or
for
help.
Sure.
Things like that. So
yeah, isolated and alone, you can be picked off, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So a little bit more of a plug here. Hear from the lived experience expertise of speakers and panellists. Take part in skill shares on campaigning, community organising, community care and more. Join hands-on workshops, including Street Medic 101, How to Run a Street Kitchen, Protest Rights and Legal Observing, Centrelink Advocacy for Yourself, and more. There's a lot more words here, but I won't go on further. So anyway, that as soon as we hear of a date in March for that, we'll be mentioning it on the show. So hopefully we can, people from this area can head up and make some good connections.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right, particularly if you end up there as well.
Mm.
And, of course, the pricing is free to First Nations people, free to volunteers and speakers, free to no and low income, and then it just goes up by there. And it also is support for people for travelling costs. So they're trying to make it, again, as inclusive as possible. And I'm hoping that the people from Gurrumbil Borough might come down to Brisbane for that. Join in. So we're almost coming to the end of the show. So you're doing the old you've been doing it all through the summer, Daryl,
the show,
the summer holidays.
And struggling through.
Luckily today we've met someone who's going to take part in the next sort of like join the roster of presenters and panelists. And we've also had interest from someone else who might be coming in, who's come in before as a guest. So, hopefully you'll hear a few other voices, not just Daryl and me.
It'd be great to get some more people in here.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, if you are listening and know anyone who'd like to come on the show, you'd be very welcome.
Yeah, and especially if you have a story to tell.
Yes, that's right.
About your job provider or Centrelink. We want to hear about it.
Now, I was just going to mention quickly how, in the summer we're used to the fires happening here, but, of course, over in LA, they've got them happening in the winter, which, again, they're blaming on the wind. It's obviously climate change. But I just was shocked, and a few other people I've told have been shocked as well, to find out that a lot of the people fighting the fires are actually prisoners. So they're given, they're paid $10.26 per day, and they are out in the front line.
To risk
their lives fighting these fires.
To risk their lives for $10 a day.
Yeah, that's right.
Sit in a cell, I think.
There is a small amount. Of course, $10 might go a bit of a way, but this is the privatised prison system that they have there, and they have here as we have here as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I just thought, it's just shocking again. I'm just getting sick of it being on the news because they're not telling the full story and they're not telling really about the real people who are out there.
No. I did see a bit of that on the ABC News, and they were showing all these neighbourhoods that all got burnt out. And I'm thinking, well, no wonder all the houses that they seem to be so close together. They're all so cramped in.
They're edging in to try and get those beautiful views. But then a friend of my daughter's was actually in the process of buying a house, but they were staying in an apartment and they lost both the apartment and the house. So it's not all, you sort of see the penthouses, but it's not all rich people as well. It's, affecting a wide cross-section of the population, I think, over there. And, of course, even down in Wonthaggi, there's been a fire about 2 weeks ago which burnt out a beautiful bit of bushland and it threatened people's houses, but it didn't actually get anyone's house. But, of course, it did get the houses of the various animals, as powerful owls and other, gliders. I've never seen a glider. Apparently they look amazing. They look like apparently a handkerchief coming flying down from the trees because they're gliding.
That's they're called a flying fox as well, aren't they?
Oh no, that's something different.
Oh, is it?
Flying foxes are a bat that lives on fruit. The gliders are the ones that have these flappy bits of skin with, under their arms so that they basically slide down.
And
off.
You see them out one thingy.
Oh, no. Well, I've never seen them myself, but they are. They were living in this bush, and hopefully some of them has survived. Yeah.
You know, I think the best way to fight bushfires in this country would be to give it back to the native Australians myself, because they were doing that hundreds and hundreds of years before white man came to this country.
That's right.
It was never a problem. And they even set fires to their advantage, you know.
Exactly,
Because they'll set a fire at one end and all their food will come racing out the other. It made
that's
it
right.
easy for them. They had a nice feast there, but...
Well, it's trickling through far too slowly. I think those ideas are starting to get to the mainstream.
So, I just think if they just put bushfires back in the hands of the native
Australians, the First Peoples,
the First Nations people, we'd have a lot less trouble with it then.
Absolutely, well, we're going to be meeting the local council in my area soon, and I'm going to be putting that on the agenda.
Oh, good.
We're nearly at the end of the show, so you'll hear from us next week. Same time, same place.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.